In the name of Jesus. Amen. How ordinary to be out fishing. Of course, then, how ordinary are Jesus' words? Come, let us have breakfast. Peter and the other disciples, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, the way that they deal with their grief over their Lord's death and their doubt at his rising from the dead is to go back to their ordinary work, back to their fishing. This is where they're most at home, comfort in this known skill. On Sunday, we heard about the women at the tomb. They, too, dealt with their grief by going about their womanly work, that is, back to the corpse to prepare it for burial, loving their Jesus even unto the end. Of course, the disciples on Easter morning and evening were all funked out, hanging out behind closed doors, depressed, lost in the void of that upper room. And that's how it goes when we're dealing with grief, either to get lost in the void and the darkness, or to lose ourselves in the busyness of our work. But here they are fishing upon the sea, and they see a man on the shore. Who is this man? They do not know. But he calls out to them with a curious expression, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." Children. The Greek word is paideia. It's the word that the Father calls his children, the one whom he's teaching, and they as his learners. And so he's going to teach them again by having them listen to his words. So he says to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Why they obey, we do not know, but they do. They cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Quite a quantity of fish it was. John the Evangelist, the one whom Jesus loved, remembered the quantity, 153 big fish. Of course, we could try to figure out why he numbers them so. Not 154, no, not 152, 153. Why this detail? But to demonstrate that Jesus did give them a miraculous catch, and John remembers it very clearly. This was the third time, after all, that Jesus was revealed to his disciples. The third time that he showed them who he was. Actually, not quite the third time. Seven times Jesus, in John's gospel, gives a miracle, a sign that he is truly who he says he is, the Son of God. But now we're in chapter 21, and the book had successfully ended. At the end of chapter 20, John says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." But apparently the nice, tidy number of seven wasn't enough for Jesus, and it wasn't enough for John. John adds chapter 21, it seems, as an appendix. It doesn't really fit with the book, that perfect number of seven, that he would come and do this again, another miracle for them. But that's the way it is with our Lord. He's no ordinary Lord. He doesn't fit into our perfect little box, our expectations of what he would do. Instead, he fits us in. And John, try as he might to give Jesus seven signs, has to deal with the eighth here of him giving this miraculous catch of fish. So Jesus fits us in into his story. None of the disciples tried or asked who this man was until after they received the catch of fish. Jesus had to reveal himself to him, to them, to speak to them, and to give them his gifts. That's how it is with Jesus. We can try to fit him into our box, to make him behave, to tame him. But he's not a tame lion, as C.S. Lewis would say. He does what he wants to do. He says what he needs to say. And so we let Jesus be who he wants to be. He wants to save them. He wants to feed them. And so he does. Nothing can fill Jesus' place. He always makes sure that the people receive what they need, that you receive what you need. So it was for these disciples, going about their ordinary work, that he comes to them in an ordinary way, as a man on the shore who calls out to them. But then they recognize him as they bring in the fish. But it's not about the fish. And it's not really so much about them recognizing him. But he wants to make sure that his sheep are fed. And so he says to them, "Come and have breakfast. Feed my sheep." Which, of course, he instructs them to do in the very next part of chapter 21. Jesus wants Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Nathanael, Thomas the twin, the other two disciples, unnamed. He wants you to be fed. Of course, we could try to get a handle on that, but we really can't. Or even get a handle on the fact that Jesus, on this third revelation to them, just wants to have breakfast with them. But so it is with your Lord. And so he says to you, come and eat. Come and drink. Come and be fed on me, and I will give you eternal life. Do not hesitate when it is Jesus who calls to feed you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.